Here we go. Wednesday nights in our church. If you are not paying attention, you're missing out. First of all, we have Girl Scouts, we have Boy Scouts, and now we have Wednesday night dinners. So Wednesdays are getting busy, and we're excited to be teaming up with people and their vision. So as a church, we've said, listen, we want to team up with individuals, and we want to help them accomplish what it is that they want to accomplish. And if you're super religious, then you tend to believe that that's all about, you got to have Bible studies and prayer meetings and all that kind of stuff. If you're not super religious, then you realize that people can have a heart for other things, right? They have a heart for people, and it doesn't necessarily have to be about prayer or Bible studies and those kind of things, even though those are great things. So when someone comes to us and they said, hey, I have a heart to minister to young boys or young women, right? We should immediately say, excuse me, are you going to pray at those meetings? Because if you're going to pray at those meetings, then we would gladly host them in our church, right? That would make it a spiritual event. And there are churches out there that that's the way it would be, but that's not what we've said, right? We've said, listen, we want to come up alongside people. So we have come up alongside Girl Scouts, mostly because it's just selfish. I love Girl Scout cookies, which Leah knows, right? So she sends me a text, and she says, hey, it's Girl Scout cookie time, and I'm very excited because I've been waiting since September of when they're here for Girl Scout cookie time, right? And this is what happens when you love Girl Scouts. You get Girl Scout cookies, right? But it's more than that. We're teaming up with somebody who has a heart to invest in young women, and we want to do that. That's what we want to do, right? We want to come up alongside. It works the same way whether it's Summer who said, hey, I want to cook for people, and we said, hey, that's really cool. Let's have a Wednesday night dinner, right? Let's do what it is that people have a desire within their heart to do. How can we take that and how can we use that? So this morning, we have teamed up with Girl Scouts to help them accomplish what they want to. At the end of my little spiel here, I'm going to have them come up. They're going to say a couple things before we close out. And then you're going to get an opportunity to actually personally help them out. And we've been announcing this for a couple weeks, the fact that, listen, whether you like pancakes or not is a moot point. We like girls that are trying to do different things and are trying to be different. And so we want to support them. Right? So you don't have to like pancakes to support those who are trying to sell pancake things. If you're like my son and you eat pancakes with chocolate chips every single morning, then this is a heavenly day for you because you get a pancake breakfast. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 13. I want to do something different today. Some of you are super theological. You should have been in our Sunday school class and your needs would have been met. Right? Those who aren't, what I really want to do this morning is I want to tell you a story. Hopefully a story that has some meaning. Then I want to read a scripture to you, and then I'd really like to be done. That's my plan. It's not going to work that way because I never stick to the plan. But my plan is I want to tell you a story, and I want you to find yourself within that story. Okay? And then I want to read some scripture that are going to back up my story, hopefully. So let's pray this morning. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, a day that you knew would include snow and Girl Scouts and a bunch of other things. And Lord, you are a God who works all things together according to your purpose, to your plan. And so, Lord, this morning, we take a group of people who are all in different places. And we come together, we sit under the same roof, and we ask that you would work all things out together for your purpose and for your plan this morning. In your name, amen. So I want to tell you a story that goes way back into my childhood. See, when I was probably 10, 11, 12, 13, this really cool thing came out in the world of stories, and that was choose your own endings. We've talked about that before, right? So you can buy a book and it would have a bunch of different, you get to choose where you go throughout the book. So if you're really smart, you go to the end, you find the ending that you want and you work yourself backwards, right? That's what happened a lot of times. I want to be the good guy, so here's what I do. I want to be the bad guy, so here's what I do, right? And we would follow our own ending. And it seems like that would be a new concept back in the 80s, but really, it's a 6,000-year-old concept. You see, God is the original choose-your-own-ending storyteller. You see, he created this planet. He puts us on this planet. He says, listen, you get to choose your own ending to your story. Now, I'm going to give you the appropriate ending, the ending that you want, but you don't have to choose that if you don't want to. You see, it's my belief that God puts us on this planet, and he puts us all going in the same direction, right? And he says this, that listen, at the end of your journey, you'll know when your journey comes to an end, because there's going to be a chasm, there's going to be some kind of a canyon that you cannot cross on your own. You got that picture up here, right? You might think you can cross it on your own. You might try to cross it on your own. But here's the reality. You cannot cross it on your own. You're not going to get across it, right? Now, there is a very set, predetermined way to get across that. That by the time your life gets to that canyon, you have to be on the right path. The right path leads to the right gates. And it's the only way to get across. See, we believe as Christians that right gates, right, is then bridged by Jesus Christ. He's the only one that allows us to get to heaven. But you get to choose your own ending. And you see, it's a funny thing. Because even though God says, follow the yellow brick road, right, that there's a narrow way, there's a way that makes sense. He also says that narrow way is harder. You see, what we think about in our heads is that it ought to be the easy way, right? If there's a right way, it ought to be easy. But it's not. God says, listen, if you choose to get on the narrow way, you need to understand that it's a harder road. It's a harder road, first and foremost, because you're choosing to serve your Creator. You got to put down what you think, what you want, what you feel, right? What you purpose, and you have to say, I know that there's a Creator who has a purpose for me, and His ways are not my ways, and they're better. But here's the problem. As you walk down this road, you have no idea what's on the road, what's coming up ahead, what's going to happen. You just have to put your trust in the fact that your Creator knows the path, right? And that He has a plan for you on that path. He does not say it's the easy way. He doesn't say it's going to be smooth. He doesn't say it's going to be perfect. He doesn't say any of that stuff. Matter of fact, He says it's going to be hard to follow this path. And so as you and I start off at the beginning, we have a choice to make. And some of us decide that we're going to get on that narrow path and we're going to do it. But for the vast majority of us, we don't start out that way. We're not born on that path. See, if we were born on that path, then we wouldn't have free will. And God says, you have free will. You don't get made to walk the path. You choose to walk the path. And so some of us decide that we're not going to start off on that path. And we make our own path and we make our own way, right? But here's what we know for sure is truth, that at some point, you're going to find the canyon. At some point, the end of your journey happens, right? And so we find our own path, and the idea of this is, the way that God set it up is, that you're going to have multiple opportunities throughout your life to find the right path. That your path, the way that you choose to do things, is going to intersect consistently. And we know that that's true because you and I consistently bump into people, right, that help us and try to teach us, right, about that path. They try to bring us to that path. But sometimes it doesn't work. You see, here's what we know for sure. The Bible tells us that we're to find the narrow path,
We're to find the right way, and we're to stay on that right way. We're to stay on the right path because the right path leads to the right gate. And the right gate leads us to heaven. But there are a lot of things that are going to happen on our journey that are going to attempt to pull us away from the right path. You see, what's going to happen as we walk along that right path, that narrow path, is that life is going to happen. And there's going to be opportunities while we walk on this path to quit, to give up. There's going to be opportunities where we think it's easier. We watch the path of other people. We say, you know what, this is harder. It's harder to do it God's way than it is to do it man's way. And you know what? I can head in the same direction. And the truth is, I'm going to get to the same spot. My journey is going to end just like everybody's else. And it can be much easier if it's over here. And so we walk and we leave the narrow path. Some of us just decide we don't want the narrow path. And we have in our heads what our culture has today, which is this. All roads lead to the same place, right? I can do whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. I can think whatever I want. I'm going to get to the same place. And here's truth. It's true. All roads lead to the same place, to the end of the journey. It's just whether or not at the end of that journey you found the narrow gates or whether you haven't found the narrow gates and you're allowed to continue on, right? Well, there's a definite way. Let me read a scripture to you. It says this in Luke chapter 13. It says this in verse 22 that Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to where? To Jerusalem. Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? What a really relevant question, isn't it? So somebody asked Jesus a really hard question. Teacher, are only a few people going to be saved? You should key into what Jesus' answer is. He said this, make every effort to enter through the narrow door because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and what? Pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. And then you will say, we ate and we drank with you and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. There will be weeping, there will be gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. But you yourself, throwing out, people will come from east and west, north and south, and will take their places in the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and those who are first will be last. You see, Jesus was asked a really important question here. Is it everybody? Does everybody get to go? Does everybody get to go to heaven? And Jesus, when he could have said, sure, yes, I love everybody equally and everybody gets to go. And instead, he doesn't say that, does he? What he says is, listen, on this journey, there's a narrow way. You got to find your way to the narrow way. Because the narrow way leads to heaven. All roads don't lead to heaven. All roads lead to the end of a journey, your journey. But they don't all lead to heaven. There's a right way. We live in a world today that doesn't want to hear that. Because what we want to do is we want to make our own path. We want to do whatever we want to do in life. And we want to get to the end of our journey. And we want God to say, it's all okay. I love you so much that it doesn't matter what you did or how you did it. But the truth of the matter is Jesus, in his own words, says what? No, it does matter. It matters how you live it. It matters that you choose to do right things. You see, the right path, the narrow path, isn't right according to Andy, and it's not right according to you. It's right according to God, and God has laid out things. And he said, here's the right way. Here's how you do it. And we spend, most of our time trying to figure out how we can get around that, don't we? Even though Jesus tells us, here's the deal. Here's how it works. I want you to understand this as we talk about the journey to Jerusalem in the last few weeks of Jesus. We've been on this whole thing, walking with Jesus, right? And we've watched him interact with people. We've watched his concepts and we've watched his principles. Here's what he's been teaching, right? Last week we found out that, listen, greed creates worry. The more that you think you need and the more that you think you want, the harder life is, isn't it? And we get to this point in Jesus when he could have said what all of us want him to say, right? When he could have said what the world today wants, which is, hey, listen, God loves everybody so much that there's just no way that he would let anybody perish. And it's a true statement. That God does love everybody so much, and he doesn't want everybody to perish. But what he does want, what he wants is you and I to understand that there's a right way to get there. There's a narrow way that we need to follow. That we train people up. We train children up in the way they should go. Not we haphazardly hope that they get it. But we're deliberate. We understand. There's a tendency when we're on this path, and Justin talked about it today, that when we're on the narrow way, right? That we're going to leave the narrow way and we're going to go out, we're going to get people. Right? But we don't leave the narrow way. We don't compromise the narrow way in order to go get people to be attractive. No. We allow God to allow people to come to a knowledge of him. See, he's working in their lives. And what happens is, as they're on their journey, he's giving them opportunities. And if we're in the right path and we're doing the right things, then they're going to get that opportunity. We don't have to go and find them. Right? We don't have to compromise what we're doing in order to go find people. God brings them. Now listen, very carefully to me. I'm not talking about we sit in a church and we don't do anything in our community. And we allow people to come into our church because obviously that's not working so well. Right? We don't do that. What I'm saying is we don't compromise the narrow way. The narrow way isn't a church. No offense to anybody who thinks it's their church. The narrow way is a way of life. It's who we are. We talk about it all the time. We say, listen, does who you are define what you do? Or does what you do define who you are? Do you walk around telling people, I am an engineer. I am a Girl Scout leader. I am a pastor. I never, ever, 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 ever introduced myself as a pastor to anybody. Ever. I never walk up and say, hi, I'm Pastor Andy. You know what the first reason for that is? Because Bruce and Justin will tell you. Because immediately people change who they are. They immediately stop being who they are. Oh, you're a pastor. I go to church. That's usually the very next sentence. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. I didn't ask you that. That's not what this conversation is about. I just want to buy some hardware stuff. That's the whole thing. I don't want you to tell me you go to church so that you feel better, right? I am not defined because I have a pastoral degree. I hope I'm defined because I have a heart for people, and that allows me to be a pastor. That's a big, big difference in the world. Today, we live in a world that allows what they do to define who they are. And the narrow way is about choosing who you are. That you don't let kids in school define who you are. You don't let your workplace people define who you are. You don't let your family define who you are. I've chosen the narrow way, and that defines me. God defines me. So, listen, let me wrap this up because it is hot. And I have Girl Scout cookies to eat. Let me tell you simplistically, here's my second sermon. You ready? God creates us with the exact same opportunity. We get to journey through life. Got that? You get to choose your own ending for your journey. You get to choose your journey. You can make your own path, your own way, and you can make such a nice path that other people even choose to follow it. You can have a whole bunch of people following you. But if at the end of your journey, you get to this big, huge cavern, and there is not a bridge at the end of your path, you're in the wrong path. And the Bible says that Jesus says he's not magically making you a bridge for your path. that he has made a bridge for one and only one path, and that's his. He is fully aware, ladies and gentlemen, that his path is harder. He is fully aware that his path is going to cause you to have to make some sacrifices and some choices. He's fully aware that your path is going to include a need for him, because that's the way he created it. You're not going to have every answer for everything. It's all not going to work out all well. If you think it does, then you should just talk to some people who are sitting here this morning and ask, how's that working for you? Because it's not working well. Right? What he wants is this, that when the path gets so small that you think that it doesn't exist anymore, he wants you to turn to him. When you're tempted to take an exit, he wants you to turn to him. When you're tempted to just fall down and quit, he wants you to turn to him. He is the answer for his path. Not like mine. I am the answer for my path. Am I not? I have the answers for everything that I need. Right? So, if you're like me and you've been waiting all week for your baby calves to start coming, right, from your cows, and you picked the day, because I think it was Wednesday when it was just really beautiful, right? And I decided in my head that that's a perfect day for baby calves to be born, right? Not today. Today I have an inch of snow and mud and slop all over the place, and I've decided this is not the day for baby calves to be born. Let me explain to you what is most likely going to happen by the time I get home today. I'm going to have a baby calf, or two or three, lying in the mud. Because I don't get to choose how I want life to be. I don't get to choose, right, and make things happen. Things happen so that I can choose, catch this, I can choose to believe in God and have a faith. Right? I can choose to allow God to be a part of the situation. Baby calves have been born way before Andy Fred was born. And they've been perfectly okay for thousands of years. God has it. He's got it all under control. He doesn't need me to dictate what it is that I need from them. But what he needs me to do is have a faith in him. He needs me to be walking in a direction on his path and understand that. Because his path leads to the only gates. Right? His narrow way leads to the only gate to get to heaven. So there's a really easy question this morning before we transition to Girl Scout cookies and Girl Scouts. God is, are you on the narrow path or not? Not are you walking really close to the narrow path? You believe in God. Not are you way off here or wherever, whatever. Not are you demanding that God make a gate and a way at the end of your path, whatever you choose to do. Are you on God's narrow path? That's what Jesus presented to a bunch of people, right? There is a way, a narrow way. And we figure out that narrow way by reading his word and understanding who he is. You have to make that decision for yourself. Nobody can force you to be on that path. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we're thankful that you are a God who takes a bunch of mumble jumble and can actually do something with it. So Lord, we pray that this morning. Lord, that you would take that which has been said, Lord, that you would sift it through, and Lord, allow people to just grasp on to the simple truths of your word. Lord, we pray that you would do amazing things in and through your people. Lord, that as we invest in others, Lord, that you would just create an unbelievable harvest from that investment. But Lord, we know that the right harvest, the best harvest, a godly harvest comes from when we're walking on your path. And we pray that we would be on that path. In your name, amen. All right, let me close and benedictize, and then Donna will sing us out. And the Girl Scouts can if Lee, if you just take them to the back and get ready, we'll make sure that happens. I am not kidding about giving away a box of Girl Scout cookies. So, Father God, again, we thank you for your love for us. Lord, we're thankful that that love includes a narrow way. Lord, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we pray that we would have a heart for other people. Lord, that we would have a heart for other people to join us on the narrow way. Lord, that we would quit making excuses, that we would not be about elitism, why people can't join us, but Lord, the whole goal is to get other people to heaven. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give our church that heart, that no matter how far away people have gotten, that we would want them to be about Jesus. Help us not to stand in the way. Help us not in any way, shape, or form to obstruct people from that. So may God bless you this week. May he allow you to live your life in such a way that you would be a light to those around you. Amen.